سورة الصف. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. Whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth glorifies Allah. And He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. Allah starts each surah with reminding us of how everything in the heavens and the earth is glorifying Him. And we can decide whether we wish to be of those who glorify Allah or we wish to be of those who forgot Allah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have iman, lima taquluna ma la taf'alun? Why do you say that which you do not do? Kabura maqtan indallahi an taqulu ma la taf'alun. It is most hateful with Allah that you say that which you do not do. As we near the end of the Quran, it's as if Allah is addressing us personally, individually. O you who believe, O you who pretend to be Muslims, O you who say that we're serving Islam, that we're teaching Islam, why do you say that which you do not do? At the end of the day, it's not our words, it's our actions which count. And if someone is teaching Islam and not acting upon it, then that knowledge would be a hujjat against them. We find in a hadith the gist of which is that when the people will be in hell, they will see in their midst a man. And in one narration it says that his lips will be cut with scissors of fire. And they will ask him, but you're the one who used to tell us. You used to tell us what was right. You used to stop us from what was wrong. And he will say sadly, with great anguish, that I used to tell you, but I would not do it myself. And I used to forbid you from something, and I would do it myself. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Is that how easy you think it is? That, oh, I'll preach the Quran and that's it, that's my salvation? Why do you say that which you do not do? Once we've conveyed, then we have to act upon it. Now some people take this as an argument for not preaching Islam. That, oh no, no, if I teach, then I'll have to act upon it and then my hisab will be greater. What we don't understand is we are already in this responsibility. Allah tells us, جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. We have made you the moderate ummah so you can become witnesses upon mankind. Whether we like it or not, this responsibility already rests upon our shoulders. Now we can do two things. Either we can obey and fulfill this responsibility, seek to convey Allah's message, pray to Allah for guidance. Because one scholar said that when I become conscious of a fault in myself, I preach about it excessively. I talk about it so much that until Allah roots it out from me. And if you think about it, it's only when you teach the book of Allah that Allah gives you some strength wherewith to start obeying Him. And every time you teach a word of the Quran, you become conscious of all that you're neglecting, of all that you're leaving behind. And you become doubly aware that now I've told people I have to do it myself. After teaching Surah Nur, it was then that Allah gave me the strength to give up makeup when I go out before others without niqab, in hijab but without niqab. Before that, I wasn't able to do it. But after teaching Surah Nur, every time I would be going out, I would think to myself, how can I put on this lipstick when I have taught Surah Nur? لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. The answer is not that we don't teach anything at all and sit back and say, oh, my hisab will be less. No, the hisab will still be there. Because we are shuhada, whether we like it or not, whether we admit it or not. What then do we have to do? Become doubly aware of our faults. Lest we become hypocrites, preaching that which we do not practice. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you say that which you do not do? The solution is not that you stop saying. The solution is that you start doing. You start acting upon your words. كَبُرَ مَقْتَنَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. It is most hateful with Allah that you say that which you do not do. Allah does not like hypocrisy. Allah doesn't need that we should go out and give beautiful lectures on Islam, go home and start our gossiping and our slandering and our backbiting. What does Allah love then? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفَّى. Indeed, Allah loves those who fight in His path, in rows, in ranks, as if they were a solid structure. Iman and jihad. Not just iman. Not just iman and talk, or iman and darses and lectures and that's it. Iman and jihad. That you prove what you say. Allah loves those who fight in His cause. In rows, in ranks. Not that we make a separate sect of our own. Well, I'm going to obey Allah like this. No, in ranks. With all the believers together, we all have to move together as if they were a solid, impregnable structure that nothing can defeat. Nothing can penetrate. Nothing can overcome. And Allah gives us an example. Remember when Musa said to his people, "Oh my people, why do you annoy me when you know certainly that I am the messenger of Allah to you?" So when they turned away, Allah turned their hearts away. And Allah does not guide the people who are disobedient to Allah. Again, the word fasiqeen. Not about what you profess to believe in, what you're actually doing. And remember when Isa, the son of Maryam, said, "O children of Israel, I am the messenger of Allah to you, confirming the Torah which came before me, and giving glad tidings of a messenger to come after me, whose name shall be Ahmad." But when he came to them with clear proofs, they said, "This is plain magic." And who does more wrong than the one who invents a lie against Allah while he is being invited to Islam? And Allah does not guide the people who are wrongdoers. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ They wish to extinguish the light of Allah by their mouths. And think of all the propaganda against Islam, all the media articles, all the television programs, the documentaries in which they seek to prove Islam is a backward, oppressive religion. Allah reassures us, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ Allah will complete His light. He will bring His light to perfection, even though the disbelievers hate it. It is He who has sent His messenger with guidance. Why don't we trust Allah? Why do we feel so intimidated by their propaganda? Remember, it was Allah who sent His messenger with guidance. And the religion of truth, لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ So He could make it victorious over all other religions, all other ways of life, even though the idolaters hate it. Allah says, if you're going to be intimidated by people, then you might as well give up. But trust in Allah, believe in Allah, and Allah will grant you victory. Ya ayyuha allazeena amanu, O you who have iman, who have strength, who have conviction, who have certainty, who have yaqeen. Ya ayyuha allazeena amanu, O you who have iman, hal adullukum, should I tell you, ala tijara, of a bargain, tunjikum min adhabin aleem, that will save you from a painful torment? Subhanallah. When someone tells you that, you know, the rupee is going to be devalued, or this and so financial disaster is going to take place, this is the only safe investment there is. What do you say? Even if you have 100 rupees, you say, well, put it in this. The surefire, profitable investment. What is this investment? What is this bargain? تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ You believe in Allah and you believe in His Messenger. Now this seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? Allah is addressing the believers. Or you who believe, and then Allah is saying, believe in Allah and His Messenger. In other words, that your iman is not just a title. I'm a born Muslim. My parents were Muslim, so I'm a Muslim. My parents said La ilaha illallah. They taught me that when I was a child, and so I've said La ilaha illallah all my life. Aminu. Iman is not just something that you profess. It's in the depths of your heart. At-taqwa ha-huna. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is where taqwa is felt. It's experienced. It's sensed. تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ That you believe in Allah. You truly love Allah above all. You truly fear Allah above all. You truly obey Allah above all. وَرَسُولِهِ And His Messenger. Not that you say, well, I'll read the Quran and forget the Sunnah. No. You truly love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you keep him as your role model. Is that all? Well, that's easy. We all pretend we love Allah. Oh, I adore Allah. When I go to Milads, no. تُجَهِدُونَ Prove your iman. Don't just talk. Do something. Do jihad. Where? Wherefore should we struggle? Jihad doesn't simply mean you get up and start brandishing a sword. No. تُجَهِدُونَ means you struggle. You make sacrifices. You experience fatigue. You experience misery sometimes. فِي سَبِيلَ اللَّهِ In the path of Allah. For Allah's deen. Serve Islam in whichever way you can. If you have a skill for writing, then write about Islam after learning. If you have a skill for teaching, then teach others about Islam. If you can't find anyone else to teach, then teach your servants, teach your children. تُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Do it now, before it's too late. بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ People protest, well, I have no knowledge. Well, what about your wealth? Give a sadqa for Islam. If you don't have money to spare, then give someone a word of friendly advice for Allah's sake. Give someone a smile for Allah's sake. وَأَنفُسِكُمْ It's not just about signing checks and having your picture come in the newspaper. Do jihad with your nafs. It's fajr time. You don't want to get up and pray. Force yourself out of bed. You've set the clock for tahajjud. it's so difficult, sacrifice your sleep. Do that jihad for Allah's sake. You don't feel like speaking about Islam, you don't feel like teaching others about Islam, do jihad with your time, with your knowledge, with your energies, with your talents. Anfusikum. Why? ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And when you've done it, don't think you've conferred any favor upon Allah. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It's better for you. إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. If only you knew this. Why? What will happen? يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah will forgive your sins. He knows you're not angels. You will make mistakes. People say, oh, I'll teach Islam once I've purified myself. When will that day come? We're not going to wake up as angels. No. It's a constant lifelong process. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. So Allah reassures us. Set forth in my path and I will overcome your shortcomings. وَيُدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. He will admit you into gardens. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Underneath which rivers flow. وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةٍ. Beautiful homes. Beautiful mansions. فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ. In gardens of eternity. They have magazines in which they have pictures of beautiful homes. The most beautiful house. The most luxurious house. The most artistic house. Allah says, strive to build a house in Jannah. What sort of houses are there in paradise? مَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةٍ. Pure houses. Beautiful houses. The Prophet ﷺ said of Hazrat Khadija after she died, I saw her by a stream in a house made of pearls. Can we even imagine a house made of pearls? How beautiful, how exquisitely pure it would be. In a house made of pearls, wherein there is no fatigue, no noise. It's not just outer beauty. Sometimes you have people living in mansions and they have miserable lives. They're living lives of torture and mental agony. No. Wherein there is no fatigue or noise. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And that is the ultimate success. Not how many degrees you acquired. Not how many homes or how many villas you acquired. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is the ultimate success. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us something. That this success of the hereafter, that's what we should focus on. If you look at the martyrs of Islam, what do we find? When they were being martyred, what were their feelings? Were they crying? Were they weeping that we're leaving this worldly life? No. Look at the companion who went with a group of other companions to teach Islam. They were betrayed, ambushed. The spear is penetrating his heart and he cries out in joy, Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba. By the Lord of the Kaaba, I have succeeded. I have made it. Why? By worldly standards, this man is a failure. He couldn't even succeed in his mission. He's been betrayed, ambushed. He's losing his life, but what does he say? Fuztu, I have made it, I've done it, I've achieved it. Wa Rabbil Kaaba, by the Lord of the Kaaba. Then we look at another companion, about to get married, and the Muslims on the brink of battle. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should I wait? Should I postpone my marriage? And he said, no, you can join us in the morning. So he spends his night with his wife, and the wife has a dream in which he senses what's about to happen. So in the morning when he's going, she clings to him. He comforted her. And then he left her. And he rushed into battle and he was martyred. And during the battle, the Prophet ﷺ was seen looking up at the sky. And when it was over and his widow came weeping, imagine, a young couple just been married. What do we say? Oh, the poor thing, he died so young. And she comes to him weeping and says, he wasn't even pure, he hadn't even done ghusl. What does the Prophet ﷺ tell her? I saw the angels bathing him from trays of silver, from the heavens above. That man, by worldly standard, he's just had one wedding night and then he dies. What is he named? Ghasilul Malaika, the one bathed by the angels. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is the ultimate success. That is the ultimate victory. وَأُخْرَى تُحِبُّونَهَا. It's not always martyrdom. It's not always death. And he will give you other things which you love. نَفْرًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحًا قَرِيبٌ. Help from Allah and a near victory. Islam is not just the name of martyrdom. It's the name of successes as well. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And give glad tidings to the mu'mineen. It's a win-win deal. No way of loss. If you are martyred, you made it. If you gain victory, that's worldly blessings. بَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah is teaching us a joyous perception of Islam. We who perceive Islam as an oppressive burden, oh, don't tell me if I know I have to act upon it. What is Allah saying? Bashir al-mu'mineen, don't frighten the believers, don't intimidate them, don't bore them. Bashir, give them good tidings. We find when Amina Silmi, the American convert, was asked, how do you perceive yourself before and after Islam? Now before Islam, by worldly standards, she had everything. She had a house, a beautiful house, amazing amount of wealth, an adoring husband, two children, you name it, she had it. And after Islam, she lost everything. She lost her husband, the children were taken away from her, she lost the wealth, and what's more, after some time, she got cancer. So by worldly standards, what would you say? A loser. What did she describe herself as? She said, before Islam, I was like a pretty little jeweled cup, a beautiful cup, very adorned, very decorated, but the cup was empty. And after Islam, now the cup is old, it's worn out, it's almost broken, but it's brimming over. It's brimming over with love of Allah, with joy in Allah. Bashir al-mu'mineen, give good tidings to the mu'mineen. Only if we have iman will we experience this joy. If we're just at the level of Islam, we're just at the level of, oh God, I have to get up and pray, then we're never going to experience the ecstasy of Islam. Bashir al-mu'mineen, give good tidings to the believers. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kunu ansar Allah. O you who believe, become helpers of Allah. Does Allah need our help? No, but Allah's deen needs our help. In the sense that if we help Islam, we're helping ourselves. And if we don't help Allah's deen, Allah will find other people. As said Isa, son of Maryam, to the disciples, who are my helpers? The disciples said, we are the helpers of Allah. Then a group of the children of Israel believed and a group disbelieved. So we gave power to those who believed against the enemies. فَأَصْبَحُوا زَاهِرِينَ And they became victorious. And that's the message we need to learn.